Thanks for downloading an episode of the Yarra Elders Precious Memories Project. This project was produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne, Australia, with financial support from the City of Yarra. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, and we need your financial support to keep going. Go to 3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners are warned that this podcast may contain names, voices and images of deceased persons. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
My name's Brian Lovett. I'm Gunich Mara, and on my mother's side, Bowandidge, Nutanjari, Pijinjada on the Lovett side. I'm originally from Lake Conda Mission.
At the end of a rainbow, you'll find a pot of gold. At the end of a story, you'll find it's all been told.
But our love, I was taken away from my parents along with my younger brothers and sisters in about 1958. Grew up in, I started off going at Tirana and then to the Salvation Army homes, Box Hill first, and in Bayswater, and then spent most of my time between Bayswater and Royal Park in them days as it was known. My younger brothers and sisters were put into orphanages. They tried to adopt them out through the White Australian, you know, the assimilation sort of policies and that were going around at the time. Life around Fitzroy began around about 13, 14, 15, where Mum and Dad used to come down from up country to get to see us kids in the homes. No matter where we were, they always found their way there and made sure that they visited us. They moved into Fitzroy, where a lot of the Aboriginal people were gathering at the time. We used to escape from the homes to come and see them and find out, you know, where they were. And, of course, get caught and then go back, and we'd become wards of the state. From about the age of 13, 14, when I started realising, you know, the political things in life, just what was actually happening around us, while we were taken away from our parents, while we were put in homes and things like that, wasn't only us, it was a lot of white kids under the same situation too. No matter if your cupboards were full, house was clean and you got a lot of love for your parents, the welfare sort of system took it in their own hands that, oh, well, this family's too big. So what they used to do, they used to take the youngest of a big family, if there was about three or four or five of you. They'd take the youngest and they'd throw you into boys' homes or girls' homes and things like that.
But our love has a treasure our hearts can always spend, and it has a story without any end.
I remember quite well, you know, life on the mission and going to school in Haywood and things like that. When you're taken, it was an afternoon that we were taken. It was nightfall when we hit Melbourne, and you just put in a big dark room, you and your brother, because they took the younger three up to the baby section in Royal Park. The Gables, they were called then. And they left me and my brother Trevor in a dark room. It wasn't a room, it was a dormitory actually. And next morning, all these white kids wake up and they see two little black kids sort of sitting there and hugging each other, you know, scared out of our minds. A few months down the track, you know, we got used to it. We started mixing with everyone, and I think that's where our learning, you know, really began in the homes with the multiculturalism. The Roaches were there, Archie and his older brother Lawrence, they were at Box Hill with us. The Charleses, Jackie and Archie, there are quite a few kids there, but the moment I run into in Box Hill was my best mate. We're still best mates now. His name's Telgen Choco Edwards. We've kept contact right through the years. We've become part of each other sort of thing, you know. Then we were transferred back to Royal Park. That's where we started learning off the white kids how to escape. And well, escape wasn't a word in them days. It was abscond. abscond. So we made a habit of absconding. When we used to escape, we used to come looking for our parents and that, in Fitzroy. We'd be with them until the coppers would come and pick us up and take us back again, because we always knew that, you know, they'd get us one day or 2 days later or a week later or a month later. But they'd always get you and take you back there, and then you just sit there in the homes biding your time, waiting for the next chance to escape. And then they sent us to Bayswater Boys Home, hellhole of the world. Never forgive the Salvation Army for the way they treated the kids there. We never got raped or touched or anything, but we certainly got a lot of good beltings off them. They were the meanest mothers around. Escaped a lot from there. In fact, that's what got us into jail originally. They couldn't hold us in the boys' homes and that, so our next step was the College of Knowledge. And from there, we'll stay there until we were finally released, legally.
Lend me a buddy tonight, my blue water lady.
I become interested in politics, getting around Fitzroy and learning about my grandfather, Eben Lovett. He joined the Communist Party, I think it was in the 40s or something, because the White Australia policy was in full swing at the time, and a lot of the other parties, the Liberal Party, Labor or whatever, the National Party and that, they all supported the White Australia policy, whereas the Communist Party, they weren't. So my grandfather, he signed up in Carlton, I think it was, and he joined the Communist Party because they were the only ones that were really fighting for what was happening to the Aboriginals, that took note. That was the start of my political duff. I wasn't really political, I was just interested in it. Then upon getting released from jail in 1970, in jail I'd read about all these Black Panther Party movements and things like that that was happening in Australia, and I started having a bit of a laugh. I thought, no, not in Australia, only in America. But when I got out of jail, I ran into Brucey McGuinness, and we had a long talk, and he showed me the difference between what we was actually fighting for, what was happening politically, why the Black Panther Party, because of the strength of it and the name. He said, we won't get anywhere just being called the Kangaroo Party or something like that, you know, or the Possum Skin Cloak Party or whatever. He said, America's already shown a strength, or Black America, by people like Huey P. Newton, Seal, Jackson, Angela Davis, and all them kind of people. And to have a name like that, strikes not real fear, but it makes people stop and think, well, what's going on here? Well, then I started attending a few demonstrations with him and started getting more interested, especially when we went to Brisbane and he introduced me to the Gary Foleys, the Dennis Walkers, the Sammy Watsons and Tiger Bayliss and all them mob. And they turned me head a bit. They weren't just talking about action. They were actually producing the action and making sure that the action hit the streets. Their demonstrations and their protest marches was really something to be proud of and something to be proud to be part of. Upon hitting Melbourne again, started meeting a few more people, then travelling to Sydney. Cheryl Buchanan became a big part of my life. She gave me a lot of help when help was needed, and met all the mob up there, Gary Williams and that. Once I started taking notice and getting more involved in it and just getting the advice of Brucey Mack and seeing what he was doing, you know, with the young Koori students setting up Koori units at Swinburne and places like that, and he was at Monash at the time, made me sort of want to be part of it, which I did. I become part of the protests, I become part of the whatever, and seems as if I've been here forever anyway. In Fitzroy, there wasn't too many people sort of outside Bruce McGuinness and a couple other people, Marge Thorpe. There weren't too many people politically involved. because a lot of them were too young at the time, and a lot of the old people were stuck in their own little web. Some of the political marches and things like that, that was a bit much for them. They'd never seen sort of things like this, and it scared them a bit. They would have rather stayed in the background and just sort of say, oh, look at these silly buggers or whatever, you know, but because of their upbringing on the missions and just around Fitzroy, because a lot of them all stuck to their own clans. They all helped each other out in that, but the thing is they had their own beliefs, their own upbringings, and it's hard to get old people to swing you away once their minds are set and the concrete's been laid, you know. But the best part about the boys' homes, it helped me become more multiculturalised, if that's the word, because in the boys' homes, you had your Italians, you had your Greeks, you had your Abos, you had your Whites, you had your the English. There was a couple of English kids there that were still there from the homes that were brought out from England during the war. And they copped it a lot worse than some of us Aussies, you know. This salty wind is getting to my bones. These legacies. A lot of good friendships did evolve from the homes, even with the white kids, the Italian kids, the Greek kids. And we all keep in touch with each other, or we see each other down the track, you know. Sort of could be in a hotel, could be anywhere. But we always seem to run into each other. And I don't know what it is about kids that have been in homes, but as soon as I hear another kid talk or another person talk, you know, it's just something that's inside them. They know that person, that man or that woman is a product of the welfare system of the day. And they've either been to Winlaton or Royal Park or one of the orphanages around, Ballarat or whatever, our Burwood. You can still pick up sort of just vibes off other people. Fitzroy, a great learning experience again. It made it easier for us being in the homes and then coming into Fitzroy and being able to be accepted into the white communities and the Greek communities and that, because when you had a me and how Choco, Telgen, Trevor, anyone that's been at home, when you sort of, as I was saying, there's a lot of Italian kids, a lot of Greek kids, Yugoslavs, Polish, Australians. So we knew how to approach different races of people. We weren't afraid to approach people like a lot of people were that come down from the missions or that come down from country. They didn't know how to talk to white people, or they fully didn't understand the Greek ways or Italian ways and that, whereas we did. We learnt all this in the homes. We had a forward pass, a free ticket forward. That led to sort of getting around Fitzroy, being accepted by different nationalities, ethnic groups and things like that. And me and Choco Edwards and that, we used to even go into Melbourne, into the city, CBD. We went to discos like the Catcher and that in the 70s and that, and the 60s, we were accepted because we knew how to approach people. If we didn't know about things, we'd soon learn about it just by being in their companies and picking up, you know, you feed off other people's vibes and that. And that's what we've done most of our lives, just become educated sort of with all the different race groups around. Made a lot easier, as I said, than coming straight from a mission or coming straight from country. And then hitting Melbourne and not knowing how to approach it, you'd always see a couple of Aboriginals standing in the back and saying, hey, bud, how come you're doing this? How come you're knocking around with them? And they couldn't understand. And we said, well, look, just join us and then you'll understand why. So they didn't. They started learning themselves. But it was a great time. 50s and 60s, they were great years to grow up. They were the greatest learning experience years, the greatest musical years. These legacies are moving too slowly. For the sun. Well, Fitzroy was the main contact centre or place for the Aboriginal. The only Aboriginal sort of outside that I'd seen outside Fitzroy that was felt comfortable in the CBD in Melbourne was an old fella, Uncle Edgar Green. And when we used to knock around on Flinders Street Station, we'd see him over at Young and Jackson's. He'd be playing the Gum Leaves on the corner. He was about the first busker I seen, I think. It makes you wonder at times, like, I wonder, they took me away from my parents for such a good life. I was just wondering if they hadn't taken me away. I got such a good life, you know. So this life that the welfare system put me into was full of lies, deceit, alcohol, drugs. And I have to sit down and wonder, what if I had been left alone at that mission? What would my other life have been like? And would there have been another life sort of thing? In one good respect and one regard, I look at it and I think, well, geez, if they hadn't have taken me away, I wouldn't have met some of the people I've met in my life, legends even in Australia Rock, or some of the people like the Brucey Max and the political sort of scenes that were happening at the time. I wouldn't have been part of that. I wouldn't have been part of Fitzroy, discovering what life was all about. You know, that's what it was, you know, really, a discovery of life and a discovery of self growing up in them days. You shallow water man, let a deep sea diver through these lugger sails, I'm moving too slowly for the sun.
You've been listening to an episode of the Yarra Elders Precious Memories Project, produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio in Melbourne, Australia. For more information and to listen to other episodes in this series, go to 3cr.org.au/YarraElders.